A very warm welcome to all of you who have come today for participating in our monthly festival, Chetna Festival. And I especially want to thank all these girls from Kupal's Garden who have come all the way to do Kirtan. They are future participants of Chetna Festival actually. And I am feeling so happy because some of them are born in front of me and now they are performing Kirtan over here. So thank you Janki, Rangdevi, Janvi, everybody, and thank you so much Brajpriya. Actually they usually have a off today, Saturday, but because last week there was a band, so today school was working, so they came directly from the school and they came and changed clothes here. So I really want to applaud their kirtan and their efforts and want to request them keep coming here and perform and keep exhibiting your talent. So also I would like to thank committee of Chetna Festival at Shishi Radha Gopinath Temple to give me a opportunity to come here and talk with all of you. And today we have taken this topic, fixing exhausted brain. I think the topic doesn't need any more introduction or explanation. All of us experience this in our life. All of us are living at two levels, as physical level and mental level, isn't it? At physical level, many things happen, our body gets tired, and it's very gross that we come to know, others also come to know if you are physically tired. But mentally, when we are tired, we cannot think properly, we cannot take proper decisions, isn't it? And this doesn't happen to few people, it happens to each and every one of us. Bhagavad Gita says it happens to each and every jivatma, human being in this material world. So challenges never get over, and if we are mentally sound, then we will come out of it with flying colors and we'll take very smart decisions and correct decisions which will help us and progress and success in our future. So I just remember my journey as a student, because here so many students come. When I passed my 10th standard, so I was one of the toppers, third number in school, you know. And then I got admission in science, Mithibai College. And there again, because we have good students, so everybody said you should try to study medicine. So I also joined tuition, physics, chemistry, biology, like that. But somehow I was quite lazy. So my chemistry teacher, one day he took class of me. And he said, what are you doing, you know, you have to study properly this. And he really... But that gave me a really push, and that's why where I am today. So I am really very thankful to that professor. So, and then we came to medical college. And there, generally in school or colleges, what happens that you are very good student, and the people around you are little mediocre or maybe lower than you if you are a bright student. But when you come to medical college or engineering college, what happens? Everybody are same, there's too much competition. Isn't it? I don't know how many of you experience that, but I experienced at that time. And I experienced more because I came from a vernacular medium to directly English medium. So it was very difficult to cope up. And as it's today's topic, that brain really gets exhausted because you keep thinking, try to study. And it's difficult because suddenly medium of the language has changed to study in. So many times students can't overcome this, and there are many incidences that in medical college, IIT colleges, the students attempt suicide, or sometimes they do suicide and they are successful at doing their part. So today we are going to understand this, how to... Of course there are many solutions available around. If you are in college, your friends say, chill out. If you are too much tense, just let's go out for a movie. Something, go out for dance, pub. Nowadays, pub. Our time, there was no pub. So, they tell. But ultimately, we all want to perform, right? Once we come out of the college and when we join our jobs, we all want to perform. So, this is typical symbolic girl that represent all of us. When we start our job, that we are so enthusiastic we want to be so sincere and we want to perform at our job so well, and we really feel that I want to work so hard and nicely to please my seniors, my authorities, and I want to really contribute to the progress of my organization. But what happened to this girl was that she was really working hard, and after some time her company was taken over and her job profile changed. So she had put in so much hard work, but now her job profile has changed, and again she was trying to get in, and it was very difficult for her. So in today's, as today's topic says, her brain was totally exhausted, in fact depressed. So today we are going to try to little bit understand what is this brain and how it functions and all, to get a better idea. So we have this human brain. All of us know we have a cerebral cortex, cerebellum and brainstem and everything. But this brain is consisting only 2% of our weight, body weight, if you are aware. Not that if you are for 400 kilo, it will be 2%. It is around 3 pounds. Okay? If you are average weight, then it is a 2% of the body weight. So it's a very tiny organ which is controlling whole body, actually. Without brain, if brain is dead, person is dead, right? Yeah. So the body is of no use even if you have a good heart functioning, liver functioning, kidney functioning, other organs, it has no use. So, and what this brain does is that it uses 20 to 30% of the total body energy. Okay. So it uses so much energy of our body, no other organ compared to it uses so much. So it's very, very active organ. Constantly it is, when you are awake, when you are thinking, when you are not thinking, when you are sleeping, you are awake, you are busy, you are studying, all the time brain is continuously working all the time. So they say that apart from this, brain gives this signals to our hand to move, signals to our brain, legs to move, signals to speak, everything, etc. Apart from that, it has very subtle three functions, and they are called executive functions because it makes us execute what we want to do. Okay, so what are these three executive functions? Thinking, reasoning, and emotional control. Yeah? So apart from the gross things, what we can see that brain is telling your hand to move, leg move. Apart from that, what brain is continuously doing is what we cannot see. It's a very subtle thing. So it's continuously thinking, and while thinking, it is reasoning, and also it has emotional control. Yeah. And many times, when our body is fully energized, it has different brain and body fully energized, then it shows different symptoms. If our brain is fully energized or when it is not energized, what are the differences? When brain is fully energized, what will happen is that you will be able to focus very well if you are very fresh in the morning. That's what they say, that you should get up early in the morning, you are fresh and you should study, you know, so you can focus very well. And when you are energized, very fresh, then emotions don't take over you so much. If you are tired, then emotions do take over you. And then you can make very good, smart decisions also in life. So exactly opposite, when it's exhausted, brain is emotionally exhausted, what happens? You get easily distracted. You are not able to focus your attention at particular time to a single thing, then you will act very impulsively, you will get very irritated for small things, you get angry for small things, because your brain is tired basically, and you can't control your emotions. And then because you can't control your emotions, you will make many unwise decisions, and that's what happens when students commit suicide. Just recently, in my own branch of anesthesia, two studying postgraduate students of anesthesiology, they committed suicide. For anesthetists, it is very easy because they have so many drugs at their hand. So they misuse the drug and they commit suicide. Even if my time, one of my same batch girl, she used to be very bubbly girl, always enthusiastic. But something what happened, that she injected anesthetic drug at home and she committed suicide. So when this happens is that when emotions overcome you so much, and then you are not able to take proper decisions in your life, and then you take wrong decision, and then it happens, all these things. So researchers say that apart from other things, there are hormonal things which affect your thinking, reasoning, your emotional control. So there are three hormones they boil down to, that these three hormones, like, they really affect you, you know. So what are these three hormones? So like, if I want to say Dr. Suvarna, she is ophthalmologist at Bhaktivedanta Hospital, my good friend. So I want to gossip with her something, you know, and I want that she will not tell anyone. So I will have that degree of trust, you know. So they say that oxytocin hormone, there is something called oxytocin hormone, which in good quantity, in balanced quantity, if it is secreted, then you develop trust in other person. You make connection with other people. The next hormone is called serotonin hormone. So like Brij Swamini, she was making just now announcements, and she is a wonderful girl, and she is very intelligent, very hardworking, sincere. She is very learned in scriptures also. And I'm sure she's feeling happy when I'm saying this to her, you know. When somebody says good things about us, when somebody respect us, somebody try to follow us, we feel very good, right? So that is because of this hormone called serotonin. It's very funny. Sometimes science you study, you feel, what is all these things, you know. These are normal things. They are all normal emotions we experience in our life, and they are telling that some substance is secreted in your brain and that is making you feel happy. So that is science. And the third hormone is called dopamine. It is hormone of motivation. If somebody is not motivated properly or less motivated, they do dopamine levels. Psychiatrists. Basically, psychiatrists are very, very concerned about all three hormones, you know. And there are many drugs that alter the levels of these different hormones, and they treat different psychiatric illnesses. So basically, in normal person, these three hormones, oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine, they are in balance level. And that's how we are living our normal life. But here it's not enough. Scientists also fell to research further. So in 1960s and 1970s, they did another research. So what was the research? Research was on kids, small kids. So what they did is that the teacher used to tell the students, the small kids, that I'm going to give you two pieces of marshmallows and I'm going to go out. And you can eat just now. But if I return, then you will get two more. If you have not eaten those, then when I return, you will get two more. So the India, usually children are very, people are very calculative, right? Very smart people. The smart student, some smart kid will steal somebody's marshmallow and he'll say, mera to theek hai, abhi mujhe aur do, right? So, but these children, though, from this, they did this experiment on hundreds of kids. And obviously there were two results they found. Some kids ate away the marshmallow before the teacher returned, and some other children, remaining children, they waited for the teacher to return, and then they ate, they got those extra two pieces of marshmallows, and then they ate. So what was the observation? The observation period was period of decades. They followed these kids for next few decades, till they become old, till they get married, get their jobs. So what they noticed, what the conclusion was, that when those children who waited for the teacher to come back and they did not eat their marshmallows, and then they waited and then they had another two, and then they had their marshmallows, so those were very successful children. Successful in what sense? then they always scored better in their schools, they scored better in their exams, they completed their graduation, they did further higher graduation also. They, after they got married, they had a happy married life. They had very less rate of divorce. And physically also, they were much, much healthier. They have very low obesity rates. And what happened to those children who did not wait for the teacher to come back? And they had their marshmallow because they were impatient, basically. So they had. So in them, they found that there were a lot of problems. Why? Because they were impatient in sense that they could not, first of all, score much good marks in their exams compared to the other group. They did not. Then they had very bad eating habits. They would eat junk food. They would not exercise. So they were not very focused at their own well-being. And even in their marriages, they had trouble. Financially also, they could not manage themselves properly. So these were different observations. So what the scientists got this inference that it is the two things, intelligence and self-control, which makes you a successful person. Intelligence, anyway, you can't do much about it, right? Intelligent quotient is decided when you are a child only, When many times children are sent to psychiatrists to know what is the intelligent quotient. So intelligence, you cannot change much. But self-control, you can. You can improve on that aspect of... So they say that these are the two keys of success. And actually, what is a success? I was giving anesthesia, going about to give anesthesia to an old elderly person. So he was talking a lot. So then I also started talking. And he said that, you know, doctor, what I do every day. I said, what do? So I just play with my grandchildren. And I play football with them. And he was very elderly, actually. He had a lot of physical problems. I said, very good, you are playing football with your grandchildren and everything. So how do you manage that? And he said, I will tell you a story you will not believe. So he said, I said, you tell me. Till I was making all my preparations. So he said, you know, doctor, when my son, he was in 10th standard, we were staying in Madhya Pradesh. He said to me that, I don't want to study further. I want to start business. So I wanted to respect my child and I gave him some money. And he, after 1 year, he came to Mumbai. And my wife was very, very furious at me that I am totally taking wrong decision by encouraging this child's desire to start business at this age. She was telling she should finish education, everything, and then he should get settled and then get a job. So he said he came, he was very young when he came to Mumbai. He started working in one of the big telecom companies and he learned many things in those telecom companies. And they were paying also well. But after some time, he got job offer in Africa. So he went there. And then over there in telecom company, he learned everything and he became manager in that company. And you know where is he now? He's in Brunei. So you know where is country Brunei? Anybody knows where is the country Brunei? Anyone knows? It's a very small country, very wealthy country actually. Brunei, King of Brunei is very, very famous king. He is supposed to be considered a very wealthy person. So, he said that now he has shifted to Brunei and he is in very, very high post in telecom company over there. So, he is saying, Madam, ye sab education kya hai? Mera ladke ne to padhai nahi kiya, phir bhi wo itna achha kama raha hai. So this is just, so many times we feel that success means one has to have a good grades in the exam, one has to have very, very well-paying jobs depending on your qualification, academic qualification, but sometimes things do come different way. So as we were saying previously that what scientists said that what influences our success is that our intelligence and our self-control. And So these are the two keys for success, our intelligence and our self-control. And Bhagavad Gita also tells the same thing actually. In Bhagavad Gita, there is a very beautiful analogy given that a chariot is there, chariot has a passenger, and chariot has a driver, and chariot driver is controlling the horses through the reins. So analogy is that the chariot is our body and the person who is the passenger is our soul. And driver is our intelligence, the reins through which horses are controlled, that is our mind. And the horses are our senses. Senses, which are our main senses? Our eyes, our nose, our tongue, our ears, these are our senses. So, intelligence is successful if she is able to control these senses. Means, a driver will reach a proper destination if he can control the horses, then he can reach proper destination. But if horses are not going to listen to the driver, they will not reach the desired destination, right? So, self-control is very, very important. And there are many stories in scripture that how self-control is considered a very, very important part of the character of a person. Very, very beautiful story is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. In 10th canto, 89th chapter. There is a description that many great sages, they gather together on the banks of Saraswati. And they were discussing that these personalities are there, this Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, three personalities are there. How to decide who is greatest? So they, amongst all of them, they all decided unanimously that Bhrigu Muni, let's appoint him to decide who is the greatest person. So Bhrigu Muni was appointed. So Bhrigu Muni started his journey and he was thinking that let me test the tolerance of all three. That will be the great way to find out who is greatest person, because more person can more person is patient, that tells about the character of the person. That is the greatness of that person, if that person can tolerate and he is patient. So, first Lord Brahma went to Bhrigu Muni, he went to Lord Brahma. Now Lord Brahma is actually Bhrigu Muni's own father. So Brahma was sitting in court and he was sitting with his ministers, and Bhrigu, he is entering the court and he just went and stood there. So normal etiquette, what is normal etiquette in Vedic civilization? That as soon as you meet your parents, you bow down to your parents, you show respect to your parents, especially when you meeting them after a long time. Then you bow down, show respect. But Bhrigu Muni didn't do any one of that. So Lord Brahma, in his mind, he became very angry that he is not following proper etiquette. And he actually wanted to curse him, but Brahma is a very intellectual personality. So his intelligence told him that now his son, let me forgive him. So he forgave him. But Bhrigu Muni understood what was going in Brahma's mind and he left that place. So Brahma actually did not pass this test. Then he went to Mount Kailash. Bhrigu Muni started his journey to Mount Kailash. And there he saw Lord Shiva and his wife Parvati were sitting there. So Shiva and Bhrigu Muni, they both are direct sons of Brahma. At the time of creation, different personality were born from Brahma. So Lord Shiva was also born from Lord Brahma. And Bhrigu Muni also born from Brahma. So they had same father. So they are actually brothers. So when two brothers, sisters, they meet after a long time, what do they do? They come and embrace each other, right? They are so happy to meet each other. So Lord Shiva, as soon as he saw Bhrigu Muni, he was so happy and he actually ran towards him and trying to embrace him. And Bhrigu Muni said, stay away. You are such a dirty person. You have scorpions on your, snakes on your body. And you are so dirty from all this ashes are there smeared all over the body. You are an unclean person, you have an unclean habit, and you associate with bhutas and pishachas and all these very low grade species. So stay away. So Lord Shiva became very angry because he came with so much happiness, but Bhrigu Muni totally insulted him. So Lord Shiva became very angry And he actually picked up his trident and he wanted to kill. He almost went to kill Bhrigumuni. But wife was there sitting with him, Parvati. So what she did, she literally pleaded to Lord Shiva not to do this. And she explained that he is your brother and you should not do this. And somehow she pacified Lord Shiva. And Bhrigumuni left that place also. Now where he went? He went to Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu is lying down on Anantashesh. Anantashesh is, it is said that Anantashesh with his 1,000 mouths is singing glories of Lord Vishnu, Lord Krishna for millions of years, but he is still not finished with it, you know. So Anantashesha is always there and is very dear to Lord Vishnu. He is lying on his bed and that time when Bhrigumuni arrived, he was sleeping in lap of his wife, goddess of fortune. So as soon as Bhrigumuni went, he went and kicked, as you see, can see in the picture, he kicked on his chest. Now what will you do if somebody, you are sitting with your friend and somebody comes and kicks you on the chest? You will be so angry. What was the response? That we'll discuss later, but this is an offense actually. Chaupad in his commentary, he says that there are three kinds of offenses. There is offense which you do in the mind. There is offense which you do by your words. And there is offense which you do by your body. So, in Kali Yuga we have a discount. If you do some offense in mind, you don't get reaction. You don't suffer for that. But in previous ages, Satyuga, even if you do some offense in mind, you had the reaction and you had to suffer for that. So there is a beautiful story on that in Puranas. In Kampilya Desh, there is one very wonderful Brahman. He entered that. Brahmanas usually keep moving around. They don't have house. They are very poor. They ask for bhiksha and they have earned their livelihood. So he once entered this Kampilya Desh. And he was playing on his violin, musical instrument, and he was simultaneously singing. And he had very beautiful hair, very nice complexion, very tall, very well-figured body. So women of that Kampilya Desh got very attracted to him. And they actually started following him in big crowd, you know, crowd gathered around him. Just like if some Bollywood celebrity comes, then males, Bollywood celebrity comes, then how women will surround him, no? Like that only it was. So they actually surrounded him and they started to behave with him as if he was his paramour. Paramour in today's language is boyfriend. You know, they wanted to have relationship with him like that. So they were so much attracted. So when the husbands of these women, they noticed this, they went to king and they complained that, see, this Brahman has entered and he is alluring our wives. And our wives are totally now attracted to him and they don't know what they are doing, you know. They are totally misbehaving. So king sent his soldiers and this Brahmin, he was arrested. And he was brought to king's court. And because he was brought to king's court, all these women who were attractive, they also came. And they started telling the king, no, no, it is not his fault. Actually, we all got attracted to him. He has not done anything. You should not punish him. Please release him. And they tried to plead king. Then Brahmanas spoke. He told this king that, can I speak for a few minutes? So king said, yes, you can speak. So this Brahman said that, actually, women should never leave her husband. Whether her husband is poor, she should always be basically chaste. And whether her husband is not having good health or not very famous or whatever it is, women should never leave her husband. So generally women, what women has, they start having comparison, right? Many times you see another woman's jewelry, good clothes, we also want to have that, right? So once what happened, one lady, she had a friend and her friend had gone to some holiday for nice holiday in some foreign country, and she came back, and then surely she was glorifying that we had enjoying so much enjoyment we had. Then this lady felt that now we should also go. So how to convince the husband? Because husband would not interested in going on holidays. So the evening when husband came, she said, actually I was not feeling well, so my health was not, I was not feeling good, so I went to doctor. And he said, actually physically you don't have any problem, you just need a change of place, you should go on holidays. So doctor has said now we have to go for holidays. So husband was listening, he was not speaking anything. So where we'll go to holidays, she started telling different places. We'll go to Dubai, we'll go to Switzerland, we'll go to New Zealand, different places. Husband is not responding at all. So he's saying, why are you not responding? At least answer me where we'll go. I'm giving you so much options, you know. So then husband said, I think we'll go to another doctor. So this is what women, we have these tendencies, you know. We try to compare. So, and we get very distracted also very fast. But this Brahmana is preaching to this women what? That in no condition you should leave your husband. You should be very chaste. And if you are not chaste, it's a great sin. And if you do this great sin, then you will become rakshas in your life, next birth. And this, all these women, they realize their mistake, and then they apologized to their husband and they went back. But because they were not in Kali Yuga, they were in different Yuga, they had to suffer reaction. And next birth they did become Rakshasis. But where they became Rakshasis? They became Rakshasis in Lanka, in kingdom of Ravana. And then they were associating with Mother Sita. They had association of Mother Sita. But they did have to suffer for that. So suffering, you have to suffer. But as coming back to this story of Bhrigu Muni, he was doing this offense to all these personalities, you know. To Brahma, he offended in his mind by not paying him respect. To Lord Shiva, by his speaking his words, very insulting words, he did offense. And by kicking on the chest of Lord Vishnu, he offended Lord Vishnu also. And that was very big sort of offense. But, and when the offense is greater, punishment is greater. Always. So, but what did Vishnu, how did Vishnu reply? Vishnu immediately got up from his seat. His consort, goddess of fortune, she also got up from the seat. He fell down at feet of Bhrigu Muni. And he said, I am so sorry that I did not notice your coming. And since you have come from long distance, please take a seat and relax for some time over here. And your feet are so tender, my chest is very hard. So it must be really hurt. Your feet are really hurt. Let me massage your feet. And he started massaging his feet. This is quality of Lord Vishnu. And then he said that let me wash your feet with water, and that holy water I will put on my chest. And because you have put your feet, your lotus feet on my chest, now my chest is purified. And my consort Lakshmi Devi, she will reside on my chest. She will be ready to reside on my chest. So by hearing this, Bhrigu Muni had tears in his eyes. And he was in devotional ecstasy. He did not speak anything and he went back. And then when he went back to the same gathering of the sages at the bank of Saraswati, and he said that this is the greatest. This personality of God is the greatest, because he has exhibited very high degree of tolerance. And Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, he has established this International Society of Krishna Consciousness. So he also said that what makes us different from animals, what makes a human being different from animals? Only two things. What the scientists, they came out with the two keys for success. Prabhupada also used to say, only two things that make us different from animals. That is intelligence and self-control. Animal cannot do self-control. Animal cannot think. Self-control means what? So that's why Prabhupada, to all his followers, he said that if you want to be come to a actually human being level, otherwise you are not actually a human being, then we have to follow regulative principles. And what are these regulative principles? He said, first of all, we should not eat non-vegetarian food. No meat eating. Why? No non-vegetarian food. Because ultimately, human being is the highest species. In evolution, human being is the highest species. And when a higher person meets the lower person, he shows the compassion, right? When a rich person sees the poor person, he shows compassion by giving him some help or something. He will not try to harm that person. So similarly, human being should show compassion to lower species of life, and they should not perform violence. That's why one should not eat non-vegetarian food. Then what we should eat? We should eat what is recommended by God Himself. And that food we can offer to Him, and then we can have that. And that will have fantastic effects on our body and our mind. The second thing, he said, no gambling. So, if you gamble, everybody knows that sometimes people, very rich people are there, just for enjoyment they go to casinos, gamble, and you don't need to go to casinos also. Many times in our ancient traditional families, on Janmashtami, they do gambling. In the house only they play cards, everything. But this habit is wrong, and it can get you in very, very dangerous situation in your life. Not only you, but your whole family can come in very dangerous situation. One should not gamble. Then third principle, he said, no intoxication. So all scriptures say no intoxication. One should not consume alcohol. One should not consume any intoxicants, basically. And whichever religion you go, same thing is said actually. Even in Sanatan Dharma, they say, do not take any intoxicant. If you go to Islamic religion, there also same thing is said. No intoxication is allowed actually. In true Islam religion, intoxication is not allowed. No alcohol. So, if you go to Dubai, it's a country of shopping. Or from all over world, people come for shopping. But it's an Islamic country. So, you will not find any liquor shop there. That government is so strict. They are following Islamic principles. So, if all the religions say one should not indulge in intoxication. And health-wise also, what are the expert dietitians' opinions? If you want to have a good health, one should not consume alcohol, one should not consume caffeine. Okay? Why you should not consume? Because these food, they increase acid balance in your body. And that is very harmful to your body, harmful for your health. So you should totally refrain from alcohol and caffeine containing materials. So ultimately no intoxication. And fourth principle Prabhupada said is that no illicit connection. Means if you want to have connection, it should be in by rules and regulations of Vedic scriptures. The relations with opposite sex is not prohibited, but illicit relation is prohibited. We are not like animals that dogs and cats are there. They can mate with each other anywhere, but humans don't, right? And humans, if they do, like in public, they'll be arrested. Recently, I was reading a news that one couple were trying to do such activities in public. They were married couple, but in public they were trying to do. So they were arrested. They were removed from that. And if we know our Mumbai police, in the night they are doing patrolling for what purpose? To curb these kinds of activities. So even by law of constitution, these things are not allowed. So human being, basic things that one should not have illicit connection, we should stay by rules and regulation and then have a relationship with opposite sex. So Prabhupada says these four things, if you want to begin to become a human being, then these four things, no meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, and no illicit sex. And then make use of your intelligence. Intelligence means what? Not that I became doctor and now I am earning so much money, I have a lavish house and my children are enjoying. This is not intelligence, because even animals in their own way, they take care of their family. They provide for their family. So basic activities what animals do? Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. They also know how to defend themselves. We may, as a human being, we might have created nuclear weapons. But animals also doing same thing in very, very lower way, very, very meager way. So, what makes us different? Human being, how they are different from animals? What type of intelligence we are given? We are given intelligence to understand that who I am, from where I am come. If I am suffering, if bad things are happening to me, we have the capacity to think that why these bad things are happening to me. We all think. The animal doesn't think. If the cat at a time she gives birth to 4 children. And 4 children, out of that, some remain, some go away, some are eaten away by dogs. But she doesn't have capacity to think that why these things are happening to my children. I want to protect my children. She doesn't have a capacity to think. But human has capacity to think. Why bad things are happening to me? And what is God? This ability to inquire that what is God? Somewhere in our life, this question comes to all of us that what is this God concept? I would like to understand that. And what is this God? If it is there, how I can re-establish that contact with God? What I should do? So, this philosophy which is given in Bhagavad Gita, that soul and super soul, God is within, always within our heart, and duty of the human being is to use their intelligence in such a way that he can connect our soul with the super soul in our heart. And how we can do that? There are various processes which are given in Vedic scriptures. So, we will go through these procedures. These are different procedures which are given in scriptures, chanting the holy name of the God. So chanting holy name, how does it help? Because it is said, in scriptures it is said that in holy name the God is not different from himself. If I chant Krishna, 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 he is not different. Krishna is there in his name. Like Disha has come here. She is working in ISKCON Desire Tree. Okay, so if I say Disha, 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 she is sitting at home. If I say sitting here, Disha, 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 she is not here, she is there only. But regarding God, it is not like that. If I chant Krishna, 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 God actually comes. So when we chant on beads, on this mala, actually we are invoking presence of God in our heart. When we sit at one place and try to chant this whole mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we are trying to, what we are trying to do is trying to invoke presence of God in our heart and feel His presence. And this becomes more easy when you hear on the same subject from the higher authorities. We attend the spiritual discourses, then it becomes more easier because we get better understanding. And we get inspired by others also who are attending the same discourse. That is actually purpose of having this Chetna festival for all these girls. So that we all get inspired together to serve God and to love God. Okay. And if many times we can't come so often to temple and participate in discourses, so that time these books are there, spiritual books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, all these books are there. So what they say, actually Bhagavad Gita is very scientific book. It actually describes how you can live your whole life in very spiritual way. It's very scientific. And Srimad Bhagavatam is full of stories. Full of stories of what? Stories of Lord and His devotees. that how devotees are so loyal to Lord, and how devotees face so many challenges in their life, and just by worshipping Lord, they overcome all these challenges. It becomes very easy for them to overcome all these challenges. So these are very, very inspiring. So many times, many things happen in our life, so many problems. Just like I used to think in my childhood, my parents, they used to not have very good relationship with each other, sort of broken family. So I used to always think that when I used to go to my other friends' houses, I used to feel so nice, parents are so nice with each other. And many times children from broken family, they feel that I would have become much, much better person if I would have got better parenting, isn't it? So many problems are there in life. Many problems are there which we can fix actually. Solutions are there, but some problems you don't have a choice. You have to just accept, isn't it? Like if I get married, I don't have a choice who is my mother-in-law. I have to accept whoever it is. I have a choice to have who will be my husband. But nobody goes that, let me see first who is mother-in-law, who is father-in-law, and then I will say yes to the boy. Hardly anybody thinks. And nowadays love marriage, if you like each other, and it's not only for girls, you also same thing for boys also. They are also concerned about a mother-in-law, father-in-law, like that. So some things you don't have choice, right? If you are traveling, if you are planning to go to USA, take a flight, non-stop flight, you have a choice. When you go to ticket counter, you can tell that air hostess that please give me window seat. That you have a choice. But you have no control over who will come and sit next to you. Right? Who will come in next to you? You have no choice. That person may be snoring all through the flight and you will not get to sleep only. Okay? So some things are, we are having choice, something, many times, very many, many bright students are there. They don't get good opportunities, and sometimes many mediocre students, they get good opportunity and they much progress much, much more than those bright, the person who was bright student in college. So not much choice. So how to understand this? We get understanding by hearing from the scriptures. Situation doesn't change, but how to understand that situation in our life, that understanding. When we hear from scriptures, when we hear from spiritual authorities, then it changes our vision. How to look at it in our life. Just like there was one example, mother was doing embroidery on a cloth. When we want to do embroidery on a cloth, there is a ring to it. This cloth is stretched and ring is there. And she was trying to do embroidery, and her small young son, 6-7 year old son, came, what you are doing, mother? What you are doing? What you are doing? So she said, I am doing embroidery. What embroidery? I can't see anything. I can see only thing, some different color threads are there, they don't match also with each other, and you are continuously poking this cloth. And I can't see any design. But, and again, after few hours he is coming. What, where is the design? Mother said, you have to be patient. You will not get this design immediately. You will have to be patient. And after few days, once the embroidery is over, this beautiful thing. Beautiful thing on the, that cloth became so much beautiful. Otherwise, it was just very plain cloth. But when the embroidery is done by mother-in-law, mother, the embroidery made the cloth look so beautiful. So similarly, just like analogy is that mother is our God. God is our mother. And sometimes he is weaving many things in our life. And as mother was poking so many needles through the cloth, many times we feel very, 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 many, many painful situations. But we have to be patient. And one day there will be beautiful design. So this understanding we can get only by continuously hearing about God. And how his devotees worship God, how devotees worship God with incessant faith. We need to develop faith that he will not do anything bad of me. He will always do good for me. So one person was there, he was very thin and lean person. So generally when I was in college, I was also 40 kilos. So when my father-in-law saw me first time, he told my husband, ye kidhar se Somalia se kisi ko utha ke leke aaya hai. You know what is Somalia? it's an African country where people don't get to eat. They all are like this, you know, all bones. So he was a very thin person. So he was really, people used to make fun of him, and ultimately he went to church and he said, God, this is too much. You please help me. I can't tolerate all these people are just always making fun of me. So some voice came and voice said that there is a mountain behind the church. Go and push this mountain for 2 months and come back. So what I will do, what you will do, will you go? Will you go? No, no. But this person went. Even I will not go. This person went. And he did that religiously. He pushed the mountain for 2 months because he had lot of faith in God, you know. So he pushed the mountain for 2 months and then he came back after 2 months and he started really blasting at God. Means started blasting in church. What is this you are telling me? It's not possible for a very, very healthy person also to push the mountain. You are telling me to push the mountain? So the answer came is that I told you that to push the mountain, not move the mountain. Did I tell you that by pushing, your pushing, mountain is going to move? No, I didn't tell you that. But now just look at you. You have very, very developed muscles. Your body has become very healthy now. Because continuously you are doing everyday exercise, you know. So, basic thing is that we have to have faith in God and faith in His plan for us. Then, whatever challenges we face in our life, challenges will always come. One challenge will get over, another challenge will come. If you get down from pehle ghar se niklenge to rickshaw wala bolega nahi jane ka hai. That is a challenge. You have to reach Chetna and he is not coming. On time I have to reach, he is not coming. Then you go to train, another challenge is there, so much crowd. Then after you get down from the train, taxi wala say, I will not come there. Babulnath, I will not come. So another challenge. Like that, so many challenges. At each and every step we are all facing challenges. But if you have different perspective and understanding from spiritual point of view, then we will be really able to take these challenges in a very positive way in our life. And we can be successful in that. Success may not come immediately, but we'll have to be patient. But faith in God can move mountains, as it says. So I would say that all of us together, we should worship Krishna, worship God, have faith in Him, and perform devotional service, and then our mind will be totally fixed. Whatever exhaustion we get, exhaustion of brain we get, it will be fixed in correct way, perfect way. And it will be permanent, not temporary. People go to cinemas, people go to pubs, then it's very temporary. Next day they get headache also. And they say that, sir, next day if I come late to job, is it okay? After 31st night, huh? So, best thing is to turn to God and get solution in our life. So, thank you so much. You have been very, very good audience. And now I think we have to vacate this hall because the next program is there in this hall. There is today program for girls and boys are one after another, but girls are first. Hare Krishna.
We would like to thank Dr. Shama Shah, Kalindi Mataji, for giving a wonderful presentation with a medical background.